Hello everyone, welcome back to this latest edition in the JF interview series for Top Sales World. My name's Jonathan Farrington and I'm of course the CEO of Top Sales World. I'm delighted to welcome a brand new guest today who we've not interviewed previously, Christine Agnelli. She actually works for one of our key sponsors, PGI, who've been with us now for 5 years. So very loyal and a thoroughly jolly good company. Kristen, welcome.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. Now, I think we ought to start by having you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your current role at PGI is. Can you do that for the listeners, please?
Yes, of course. And thanks for having me today, Jonathan. Really excited to be here. I've been with PGI since the beginning of March, so I'm fairly new to the organization, but certainly not new to this role. I'm the Senior Director of Lead Development, which is basically a fancy or newer term for business development or sales development, as it's more commonly known. Me personally, I live in the Atlanta area, grew up here, married with two wonderful little boys, have about 10 years of sort of a mixed background of sales and marketing, about eight of which is in the technology world, and really excited to build a lead development organization from the ground up here at PGI.
It sounds exciting. I think in another conversation you and I had, I think you told me your fourth technology company?
Yes, I've had the privilege of working for some really wonderful tech companies in various markets, Silverpop, Ariba, Commvault, and obviously now PGI.
Wow, okay. And obviously PGI is the best.
Of course.
Now, Kristen, I know from experience that, you know, when we think about building a new lead development team, or as some people call them, business development team, that isn't an easy task. In your experience, what are some of the key processes or the procedures and the goals that you'd recommend to make to an LDR team successful?
Yes, it's a great question, Jonathan. It's a hard one to answer briefly, but I'll do my best. It's a really important role. I think there's pieces that you need to have in any organization that's thinking about having an organization like this or has one that's maybe not performing. You need to sit down with all of your leadership across sales and marketing and other stakeholders and make sure everybody's in agreement on what it is that this team needs to deliver. Because there's really two different models. You can do more of the introductory appointment type of model, which is higher volume but less qualified, and that's usually a better fit for maybe organizations who are really struggling with pipeline and need some, and they have more time. The reps have more time to actually take those introductory meetings, since there'll be more of them, the sales team. And then there's more of the sales qualified opportunity model, where you're delivering less volume of actual opportunities, but they're more qualified and maybe a little further along in the buying process. And that's usually a better fit for an organization that has a very mature market. The sales reps have a good deal of pipeline already and are going to be a little bit more picky about the opportunities you're delivering to them. So first and foremost, you've got to decide strategically what your organization needs. And then based on that answer, you put in place key processes, hiring, you know, methodologies. If you're doing more introductory, you can hire maybe some lead development or, you know, BDRs that are a little less experienced and train them up and get them comfortable. If you're doing more of the sales qualified opportunity, you know, maybe you hire someone who has a little bit more experience or at least industry or sales experience. And I would say goals are obviously going to be very dependent upon what you want. Something I say probably ad nauseum to the people I work with is that compensation drives behavior. So it's really, really important that you're compensating this sort of organization on exactly what you want them to do. A lot of people ask me, well, why don't you comp them on closed business? Well, that's not their responsibility. They're not closing deals. In my world, they're setting them up and finding them, right, and qualifying them. So you pay them, compensate them on their variable comp on you know, delivering those qualified opportunities and having the sales rep go in and physically accept those in your CRM system. So a lot of it is just getting all of your stakeholders on the same page and really excited about what you're doing so that everybody can hold everybody accountable and being transparent about it too. That's sort of the the short answer to a really, really important question, but I hope that helped.
No, it was a very thorough, answer. And I think what I took away from that answer is that it's absolutely critical to get everyone's buy-in if you want to be successful, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And another aside question, Christian, do you think sales professionals at whatever level are driven more by money and reward, or are they driven by achievement, believing that if they achieve, they'll be appropriately rewarded?
I think it depends. It depends on the person. I have found in managing teams like this now in three different organizations, we're all human, right? So we're motivated by different things. Some people really love the, hey, good job, and you call them out in front of a room of people for doing a great job. And that's what makes them happy. Yep. And the compensation is, you know, a nice to have for them. And then there's some people who are so money motivated that a pat on the back publicly, really, as much as they appreciate it, that's not what drives them. So I think it varies greatly for different people, and you have to manage those salespeople accordingly. They're in sales for a reason. It's high risk, high reward. So of course, they're all money motivated, but at the same time, some of them, especially in the millennial generation, you know, they want the public, you know, hey, good job, you did great, you were the top rep this month. That's why there's so many technologies now that support, you know, gamification and rewardification and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we believe, you know, my experience over a very, very long time is that our motivating factors vary depending on circumstance. And, you know, you can imagine that the young salesperson, the young male salesperson whose wife's just given birth, so they've got a new addition to the family and they're thinking about moving house, then clearly financial rewards are important at that particular time, etc. So, yeah, good answer. Now, we all agree that getting new hires on board and up and running, up to speed and getting runs on the board as quickly as possible is important. And, you know, so the onboarding process is absolutely critical. In your view, I mean, what does the training and ramp-up period look like within PGI? I mean, how long should the onboarding and ramp-up last?
So in this organization, it's a little longer right now than I've had it typically because this is all new, right? So it's taking a little longer to build out processes and procedures and onboarding because we're all doing it together. Historically speaking, when you've got a pretty mature team that's been doing this for a few years, it's, you know, a couple weeks. And again, some of it depends on who you hire. Right now, I've got three reps who've just started in the last week or two, who some are right out of school, some have about a year of experience more in the startup world and don't have, haven't had a lot of structure. So there's a lot of onboarding and training going on to make sure that they understand the best practices of this world, understand, you know, PGI solutions, but also what their delivery, you know, what their goal is and what they need to be doing. So for here, it's going to run us while they're all starting, probably about 2-3 weeks per person to get them on the phone and get them comfortable. And then once they're comfortable and they're really kind of running full speed, it takes about 90 days, I would say, give or take, for a rep to get consistently at full quota on a, you know, month-over-month basis, hitting their 10 sales-qualified opportunities per month, for example.
Okay. I'm curious to know. I know that PGI have got their own internal sales trainers and their own setup. Is training sales team development ongoing within PGI?
Oh, absolutely. We've got an awesome sales enablement group.
Right.
We use a tool called Champions internally, so it's called PGI Champions, and it's constantly serving up new short, you know, training sessions with, you know, new content and new processes, and it does a lot of rewardification too, so you get points for everyone that's completed. So we've got onboarding modules specific to the sales organization that my team's going through as well, as well as just, hey, quick updates and quick contests and things like that. So
yeah.
Initial onboarding and ongoing training is something PGI does very, very well.
Yeah, that was my understanding, and I'm, you know, very, very impressed with that. Thinking about LDR teams and how closely they ought to work with both marketing and sales teams, how do you ensure at PGI that everybody works collaboratively and jointly?
So, good question. It's, you know, we report up to marketing, so I report up to our EVP of Global Marketing, Leo Tucker, and essentially, because we're in marketing, they tend to play nicely with marketing anyways, because we're all in one department, but some of it is just initial coaching, right, with my team or new hires that says, you know, marketing's going to be delivering us marketing qualified leads, and we have certain SLAs, I'm following up with those, and we have a open feedback loop on how those programs are going. And simultaneously, they get to come to us and say, hey, this lead's been sitting in there for 2 days and nobody's called it. What's going on? So, you know, it's open and honest feedback. And something that PGI, I have to say, having only been here several months, does very well naturally. And I'm sure it has to do with the fact that we, you know, are a web conferencing and collaboration software company. Yeah. But we tend to work really closely with the marketing organization and have a really, really good marketing and sales alignment kind of naturally, which makes my job a whole lot easier. But the team is aligned at the regional level. So they're aligned to a regional vice president of Northeast or Southeast, et cetera, my team is. So therefore, they're going to naturally build a rapport with the sales folks that they're supporting. And simultaneously, because they're in marketing, are going to continue to work well with marketing. And then when we have bumps in the road, you know, we're all adults and we sit down and we talk through it and shake hands and do better next time.
It's a very mature approach. I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, something else that we've discussed, I mean, it's generally known that many LDR teams work in the same location. Some organisations employ remote workers or even fully dispersed teams. What's the PGI model, and what advice would you give to someone who's managing a dispersed or remote LDR team? And I'm sorry if that's two questions, but in my mind, at least, they're quite linked.
Yes, absolutely. So I have managed this remotely twice, where I was remote actually for a period of time. And I think the best way to do it, at least what worked for me, is just constant communication, right?
Yeah,
This is a hard job to do remotely, whether you're managing the team or you're a rep. I've had remote reps, even when the team was centrally located. And it's all about just communicating. And I think we talked about this previously, too. PGI's tools build in really nicely for us to be able to do that. But even prior to PGI, you know, I have access to similar tools. We've got things like instant messaging, web conferencing, video conferencing, if need be. Now, we all know when we work from home, we're not always presentable. So it's important that you stay in touch with everybody that you work with and for if you are, you know, remote or dispersed. But in this role specifically, I do think there's a lot to be said for these teams to be centrally located, because they feed off each other. You know, it's a hard job. You're on the phone all day getting either no response or rejected, and you maybe get that one person you have a great conversation with and they say yes to a introductory call and you're super excited. But if you're maybe not having luck that day and you're the only one sitting there, sometimes it's nice to just pick up the phone and call someone that actually wants to talk to you. You know, or turn over and look at your cube mate and be like, oh, man, not having a lot of luck today, you know. So, but for the people that are managing it, I think, like I said, communication and having tools, access to tools that allow you to, you know, get a quick question answered while you're in a meeting over IM or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Now, as I mentioned, we are time constrained. I always say that on these interviews simply because we are time constrained. But a question that I get asked often, and I'd love to ask you because you're an expert in this field, no doubt that PGI have got strategies, but within those strategies, there'll be a set of tactics. So let me ask you, what tactics and methods do your LDR team use to get in contact with and get through to target decision makers? And are these key tactics that you are there key tactics that you found that work best for you?
Yeah, I think tactics is one thing, and I think personality and tone is another, and just both are equally as important. I think you have to be human. You know, the market went through a shift years ago where it wasn't just about companies and business, it was about people, and you saw brands putting their actual employees up on their website, you know, images and things like that. So I tell my people, use all the different channels you have access to, right? Phone, email, social media, LinkedIn especially, that sort of stuff. Use them all effectively and be persistent, but not so persistent that you're driving people nuts. But do your homework, be strategic, and be human. Connect with the people that you're reaching out to on a personal level. Find something in common with them or talk about them. Hey, I saw in your company's press release that you guys are having an awesome quarter. Congratulations. I'm sure your team had a lot to do with that. Tell me about it. People love to talk about themselves. You know, highlight people's success, get them talking to you, build a rapport, and usually it goes pretty well. So
yeah, and I think another key message I took again from what you just said, it's how important it is to do your homework before you communicate with them and connect with them.
Absolutely. That's huge. The day and age, you have so much information at your fingertips. You've got to use it, or you're just another person. They're going to not take your meeting and probably never take your phone call even.
Absolutely right. Kristen, it's been an absolute pleasure, and it's been very, very interesting. And I'm really grateful that you took some time out to come and talk to me. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Really appreciate your time.
So that was Kristen Agnelli, Senior Director of Lead Development with PGI. Hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did, everyone. Hope you're enjoying what we're doing over at Top Sales World. There are always new initiatives launching, as you know, and 2016 is a massive year for us. Thank you for joining us. This is Jonathan Farrington. Goodbye now. Bye-bye.